like they're flicking them out.
Well, hey, tis I, Adam the Computer Guy, broadcasting a live Facebook video with my radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course broadcasting online via the magic and power of the internet at WWGH1071.com. A slightly damp Thursday morning here in Marion, but it's warm, about 60 degrees. Not bad, considering that November starts in just a few days. So, anyway, what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show? Besides, of course, talking about the weather, which is always a fun topic. Well, first, I want to thank my people that are my friends and other associates of interest who are watching my live video that I'm broadcasting over Facebook while I do the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. We have Rob from the far west side of Columbus, and in the Queen City, home of my beloved Reds and Bengals, it is Mr. Dan. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Also want to say thank you to Mauricio from, I believe, the east side of Columbus, also watching. Of course, you can always call me and talk today's top technology topics at 740-383-9944. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday right after the 9 a.m. features to talk about those topics. Take your telephone calls, answer your emails at adam@wwgh1071.com. News about technology-related topics, for example, self-driving cars, technology in medicine, other aspects of science, of course, how social media and other electronic stuff, for lack of a better term, influences politics and sports and pretty much the world around us. And of course, again, by the magic and power of the internet, we broadcast around the world. And one of my frequent commentators and show participants is my longtime business associate. His name is Nick Carter-Jones, or we just call him Nick CJ. That's kind of like his radio name. He's on the east end of Wales, which is part of the United Kingdom. It's not quite as early there as it is here in the colonies. And he's had his coffee. He's ready to talk on the air. We talk about anything from politics to the internet and technology in the UK to always a surprise topic or two. Let me dial up my little switchboard here and see if Nick is on the line, ready to talk today. Nick, are you there, ready to participate in the Adam the Computer Guy radio show?
Hi, Adam. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. How about that, the magic and power of the internet? We are speaking to my associate in Wales, having a whale of a time. This will be a good conversation. Because, you know, Nick, the election here in the United States is in only 12 days. We don't have a royal family. We don't have a queen. We have a new president taking the helm of the White House in several weeks. I believe January 20th of 2017. We're going to decide who that individual will be. Will be the Hill or will be the Donald. And that'll take place starting in less than 12 days. And of course, people can also vote early or vote by absentee ballot. And any more, we talked about the election when you were on back last month, Nick. Any more thoughts out your way about the political climate and pending election here in the United States?
Yeah, we had our Brexit recently, and of course, it was won by 52% to 48%. To leave the European Union, and a lot of people said that if and when we decided to leave Europe, they would leave the UK. I wondered if there's enough room to house everybody from America that wants to leave if Donald gets in. That seems to be the question over here. I don't know how many Americans we can take. We'll take as many of you as we can. But I can see that a lot of you from this side of the pond don't look very happy if Donald gets in.
So your general belief is that the Donald isn't quite as popular, and people may be deciding to relocate, even if it means relocating across the globe, should he become the next president. What's the opinion of the Hill, as I call her? Is that a more positive opinion or something else?
I think so. Over this side of the pond it is. Bill Clinton always had a good rapport with the UK, and we always got on very well. The UK got on very well, and so I think that Hillary coming in would be a better choice than Donald. We hear in the media here that a lot of people are refusing to vote because they don't want Hillary and they don't want Donald, and they feel it's a two-party race. So there's a lot of that in the media over here, that people are quite sort of stuck in the middle, basically, and don't know what to do because they're trapped between a rock and a hard place.
So Hill on Capitol Hill was definitely a better choice. That's kind of the general consensus out your way.
Definitely, 100%.
100%. Now, we talked earlier.
I mean, the stuff that we see over here for Trump, some of these misogynistic things and the videos and just the stuff that goes on. And obviously, we only get it through the media here, but it seems quite frightening.
I do apologize, Nick. It's allergy season, and like a certain presidential candidate, I do have hay fever, so I had to sniff there for a second. But I did take my Flonase this morning. Hopefully, my allergies won't be too bad. It's about 18 degrees centigrade early, or Celsius or centigrade, that's the previous designation, or low 60s outside, kind of damp and a little foggy, so wreaks havoc with my allergies, and we gave some medical advice earlier. Speaking of the Donald, Nick, you mentioned on the last time you were on that there are rumors that he grows his hair in some farm or field in, I think, Norway. Was that what you were thinking earlier? I think people are talking about that out in Europe.
Yeah, there was a funny on this morning. Somebody had spent a lot of time photoshopping the Donald's face onto a pumpkin and blending it in perfectly with straw for hair on the top, and it said, of course, like pumpkins, hopefully Donald will be thrown out in November.
Well, I guess we'll find out. The election is drawing close, and I agree, this is one of the most exciting elections ever. Two totally different candidates. We're either going to have our second president who's come into office with no political experience, or our first female president. Or maybe a write-in will win. Who knows? So that's part of the fun of life. Every day provides a different surprise. Back into technology topics, Nick. We want to talk about those. Tell our listeners first a little bit about yourself. I mentioned about you being an associate and a business colleague of sorts. Tell our listeners not only how you and I know each other, but about the business that you've run for, I think, the last 40 years.
Well, we met online. That sounds like a sort of chat-up thing, but I was desperate. I had a programmer who worked for me. I run an internet business, and the very, very highly technical stuff I like a third party to help me on, and I had a nice programmer in Ireland who I never met, only virtually online, one night he decided to pass. Well, he didn't decide to, but he passed away, and I was left in dire straits with no technical support my end. And I met you, Adam, online on one of our bulletin boards, and we've been working together since. I don't know how many years it is. I think it's quite a few.
Three or four. Yeah, there's no metric system for years. We use the same count that you would use there, unlike things like temperature, where of course there's Fahrenheit and Celsius. But it was about 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've done quite a lot of projects together, and you support me, and I support you. Never met in the physical, but so we're virtual friendship, and I would say quite strong. It's an amazing thing to be able to do. To work with somebody on a completely different continent on projects that are thousands of dollars, at a time. And completely work as if we were sitting in the same office or in the office next door.
Now, Nick, you've been in business about 40 years, as I recall. I mean, quite a while, longer than I've been in business, even.
About 40, yeah.
When you first started your company, which I guess, if my math is correct, back on the bicentennial, which you probably didn't celebrate in your neck of the woods, but mid to late 70s, how have things changed? Did you work on the computers that were popular then? I used the TRS-80, we used the PDP computers from IBM. Did you work on those kind of systems, or was there a different focus of your technology?
There was no technology then. I worked in the building industry, in offices and various bits and pieces, and on sites, and but I did my degree via a thing called the Open University, which we have over here, using a Sinclair QL, which was a very strange machine, which had a standard black and white screen, which I upgraded to a green screen, so I had green and white instead of grey and white, and it used little things called micro drives, which were a sort of tape in a little cassette, a little bit like a mini 8-track. And then I progressed to a single floppy 3.5-inch, and I had a Wise 286, which I'd got from in the States, which was a 286 processor running pre-Windows, running DOS. And that had a green screen and a 5.25-inch drive. And we're now talking probably early 80s. So it was quite ahead of everything then. There wasn't any internet then. The first thing that happened with the internet, I started touring this country because I met up with somebody who did what they call fax broadcasting, where they send off faxes to hundreds of people, fax spam it used to be, really. Asking them would they like a lecture on what the internet will be like when it arrives. And so I used to go to the Park Lane Hilton in London and spend a couple of days there lecturing to people like Shell, Burberry's, Imperial Tobacco Company, and it all used to be done with my big Wise 386, which I used to carry in the back of the car, connected to 8 monitors via a hardwired relay. And all of these companies were told how they could be on the internet and how it would help them. Of course, had I got all of those as customers now, I'd probably be a multimillionaire in the Bahamas and you wouldn't be talking to me, but unfortunately that didn't work out, so I'm still sitting in my techno shed in the middle of Wales.
We are speaking with we're speaking with my longtime business associate, a man of a large number of anecdotes, Mr. Nick C.J. in the, it's pronounced Brecon, is that the correct pronunciation?
Brecon.
Brecon, okay. I figured I was pronouncing it wrong, and I hate to ask and not feel like I can pronounce anything and everything, because your name is so easy, but the town, of course, is more complicated. So in Brecon, which is just west of the border between England and Wales and the United Kingdom. Interesting, I was thinking, Nick, while you were speaking about those floppy disks, you expressed their size in inches. And, of course, there are things about English that are the universal language. But in the UK, do you still use inches to designate the size of floppy disks, or is it converted to metric? That was kind of a...
There's never been a metric for floppy disks here. We've always been on 3.5-inch and 5.25 when they existed, obviously. We have a very strange anomaly because in the building industry, and I do a little bit of quantity surveying, which is working out the price that a building's going to be when it's built, we have plywood in this country, which is 2.4 meters long, but 4 foot wide. And there is an anomaly of 0.5-inch, basically, between the length and the width. And apparently it's because it comes from Canada, which uses half of the US measurements and half of the UK stroke Canada measurements.
I guess it's like how we express many things in liters like soda or pop, depending upon where you're from. I call it soda, but a lot of people call it pop or just call it Coke. It comes in 2 liters and has for as long as I can remember. And a liter is a little more than a quart, so you don't really notice it. And even cigarettes, they come in 90-millimeter or 100-millimeter sizes, and people don't often know what hundreds refer to, but actually it means that they're 100 millimeters long. And it's not something that you really notice until you kind of think about it in detail, which is kind of the way that I do things. So we do find that there are some things where the system of measurement is used, even if it's not the standard measurement in that particular country. So the floppy disk thing, I really had never noticed that before, Nick. Honestly, until you told me, I never really thought, do they use a different name for it, a different measurement in other parts of the great world that we live in. So I appreciate that little tidbit. Nick, you are, I guess, going in for a surgery soon, and that's going to obviously affect your mobility, but once you recover, you'll be better than ever. But we were talking about the fact that that's not going to have a big effect on your ability to run your business. You can do most of the same things you're doing now. Just do it remotely or do it without moving around or visiting clients. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm going in for a replacement knee operation. I'm having a thing that used to in the UK be called a half knee. Its real name is a unicompartmental knee replacement, where they basically just chop off half your knee and replace it with titanium and nylon. So I'll be a little bit bionic in the one knee. But the amazing thing is that it's all done with a spinal block, no anesthetic, no general anesthetic, and you're conscious all of the time. I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to video some of it for Facebook, just to make people feel a bit queasy. But the marvelous thing is I'll be back in my room sort of mid-afternoon. I'm having it in the morning. I'll be back in my room mid-afternoon. And full Wi-Fi there, high-speed Wi-Fi, faster than I've got in my office. So I'll have all of my laptops, and I'll be running the business as normal.
I know
no holiday in the UK when you have operation if you're in the IT business.
I know this has come up often, Nick, from your office in Brecon, which I'll never mispronounce again. Sometimes the internet speed isn't the greatest, and it's affected abilities to do multiple things. But actually in the hospital, I guess, which would be in a more urban area, the internet speed is actually better. So in some ways, you can get more work done, even if you're sitting in bed with a laptop.
Hopefully, yes. I mean, I'm on 5 megabytes a second here, and I've got a place in Hereford that I go to normally, and they're 135 megabytes a second. So in my office here, which is a techno shed, as I call it, it's a giant sheddy-type barn in the grounds of the house, I get 5 megabytes a second, and I have to have 3 landlines in order to have 3 different lines into 3 different PCs, so that I've always got enough bandwidth.
I guess that's kind of the irony, is even if you're recovering from a fairly major operation, you can get work done, oftentimes more than you can get done at the home. So just the wonders of modern technology as we approach 2017. You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM frequency modulation, as well as broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. My name is Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy, along with my special guest, Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. He'll be back on about 30 seconds after I talk a little bit. Want to thank you very much for watching my show live on Facebook video. Listeners include a friend of mine, Danny from Cincinnati, Rob from Far West Columbus, Rick, a fellow radio person. He's in Northwest Columbus. And from all the way in Puerto Rico, oh, it must be nice and warm there. I am jealous. My beautiful cousin, Myla. Again, from Puerto Rico, she is watching the video. Thank you so much. Hopefully you'll enjoy the show. Feel free to call in 740-383-9944, or, of course, you can email me anytime at Adam at WWGH1071.com. What's the weather there like in Brecon, Nick? Here it's about 18 Celsius and kind of foggy and misty outside. Nick? Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just asking you what the weather was like. Here it's about 18 Celsius
here,
and kind
about,
of foggy and rainy.
14. We've lost Celsius. We've lost Fahrenheit, so we're just Celsius here, and it's about 14, and it's pretty bleak. It's a nice day for Wales. Apparently, we're about 4 degrees higher than we should be at this time of year.
So not much different than the weather we have here. So I guess upper 50s.
One of the things I was going to ask you about, Adam, was the DDoS attacks that happened last week, and I wondered what your thoughts were on those.
It's a serious problem. Twitter.com wasn't working. Amazon. Just as the holiday season now starts seemingly after Labor Day, so as holiday season kicks into gear, Amazon.com wasn't happening. I noticed a lot of slowness with DNS lookups, that is finding which server, which IP address, which numbers correspond to which website. It did fix itself, but you wonder about this stuff and what's the origin of it, and can it be prevented? It seems like the bad guys are always a couple steps ahead of the IT professionals, so it does have me worried. Thankfully, it didn't affect, to the best of my knowledge, any of my servers. And Nick, since you and I use some of the same servers, I remember I checked yours and all was well. But sometimes that's just a stroke of luck. If Amazon is not available, that has an effect on the U.S. economy. And Twitter, again, it's mostly a fun service, but they have an agreement with the National Football League, so there are business implications there also. So let's hope that people that are a lot smarter than myself have been able to figure out how to stop these things in the future, and we will never see a major distributed denial of service.
From the UK's perspective, it always seems slightly frightening. The fact that all of this stuff becomes virtual, and you know, we just got a list of all of the stuff on the West Coast and a map of where it was going down and how all of these large people were going off air, basically. And it was quite shocking, really, to think that we're running our own little internet companies, and if our websites go down for 30 minutes, we have customers on the phone saying, goodness, what's the problem here? Why is my website down? And then you can have the likes of Amazon and Twitter down for considerably longer, and of course no phone numbers to ring, no way to find out why they can't buy their stuff, and just a great loss to the economy, as you mentioned.
Do you think that the, as I said, people who are probably a lot smarter than myself, do you think that they successfully figured out how to stop these attacks in the future, or are they kind of sitting here biting their nails wondering when it might recur?
I think the problem with DDoS is the fact that it's using a lot of other people's computers to actually create the attack, and you might be better technically to explain what a DDoS attack is, but My understanding is that a lot of people's machines are linked in a hidden way to attack an IP address, the address of a website, and basically send it so many requests that it falls over. And the problem is that Joe Public is so susceptible to getting people inside their own computers. I mean, Before I came on air, I got an email, and I printed it out just because I thought it would be a good example. It says, subject, bill overdue, and it's from Clarice Foster at some what looks like an Italian name, .it. This is to me in the United Kingdom. And it says, this is from the telephone company to remind you your bill is overdue. Please see the attached bill for the fine charge. And there's a zip file attached to it, which is, 110% a virus. They don't even mention which telephone company it is, so they haven't even made a stab in the dark at which British telephone company it would be. So there really is no reason to want to open that zip file, but
I do get customers that open them. I had a customer last week, I don't think I mentioned it on the last show, but he rang me and said, Nick, I've got an email. It's from iTunes. It says that Gloria has got a bill for £17 for her iPhone and that I need to download the zip file attached with the details. And I said, but your wife's not called Gloria. He said, no, I don't know anybody called Gloria. I said, do you know anybody with an iPhone? He said, no, I don't know anybody with an iPhone. I said, well, perhaps it's just a virus. He said, well, it could be because I click on it, and every time I click on the zip file, my antivirus says, you know, I'm putting this away in quarantine. And he said, I've been at it all morning trying to open it. And I think as long as you're dealing with customers like that, those DDoS attacks are going to continue.
Yeah, basically, as I tell people, Nick, if it smells like a rat, it probably is. If you're not 100% sure that it's clean, first of all, scan it with your antivirus software. That's what you pay the software for. That's why you pay for the software. Okay, let me get my words clear here. And just delete it, especially these zip files, which is executables, or .scr, which is a screensaver. That can wreak havoc with your computer. It could be ransomware, where you have to pay hundreds of dollars to unlock the computer with no guarantee that'll actually be done. Or it'll have annoying pop-ups, it'll change your homepage, it'll redirect you to ad sites. Many, many things that can happen. And it's good to be proactive about that. And if you're not sure, again, call your friendly neighborhood computer tech, someone like myself or Nick, or a trusted associate in the business world. He or she can certainly steer you in the right direction. Want to give a shout out to Matthew B. In Columbus, who's watching my live video. Thank you very much for watching, Matthew. Feel free to call in 740-383-WWGH. That's 9944. The Adam the Computer Guy show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 Frequency Modulation, or FM, and broadcasting around the world, including to Breckett in Eastern Wales. We're talking to my business associate, Nick CJ, right now. He listens via the internet at our website, WWGH1071.com. Big news story, Nick, which I think is spread all over the great globe that we inhabit, is the problems with the Samsung cell phones, the smartphones that probably aren't too smart. Any thoughts on that, Nick? Do you think Samsung has not had good attention to detail? Will this be a death knell for the company, or anything else you wanted to share with our listeners?
I always find it a little bit frightening when you have something like this. I don't know what the percentage of phones that have caught fire is, but it just seems that they talk about beta testing and they talk about sending these things out as they do with software like Windows. You know, and they'll send out Windows 8.1 as an operating system and then realize that nobody likes it and have to revise it. And how do you send out a phone and sell millions and have them boxed up and ready to go with no beta testing that's tested it to the ultimate limits of charging it with the wrong charger and seeing that it catches fire? And we're having news now that the iPhone 7, a few of those have suffered from the same problem. So is it a death knell? I don't know. I think if you were a Samsung person and you hadn't bought the phone, then you just wait for the revision, as I do with, say, Microsoft software. I would never put a Microsoft program on until it had been out for 6 months to see what the problems were and the pitfalls were. There was the bendy iPhone where the glass used to break, another problem, and they usually get resolved. But, of course, it seems that nowadays the general public is the beta tester.
It would appear that way. I know in helping one of my long-time clients. He's elderly, and I help him use his computers, fix the printers, and make his office more ergonomic. He owns a software company which he's had for about 60 years. And he's had Windows 10 put on multiple computers. And in speaking to this the support department at one of the software products that it uses, the guy told me point blank, Nick, that Windows 10 was offered as a free upgrade to Windows 7 and 8 because anybody who uses it is essentially a beta tester. They're finding out the bugs as they go along. So in terms of Microsoft, you're really paying for something, even if it's a free upgrade or a free program of some kind. You're paying with your time and your troubles, or paying someone like myself to troubleshoot something. I know, Nick, we don't really, you and I agree on a lot of things, but we really don't agree on Windows 10, as your opinion is certainly more positive than mine. But what do you think about that tech person telling me that, at least initially, anybody using Windows 10 was essentially a beta tester of his or her own? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's 100% true. I never install Windows 10 on anybody's machine without installing a thing called Classic Shell, which is a little app from a little Russian dude, and that is that makes it look just like Windows 7. So you get your machine working like Windows 7, but running with the slightly better speed of Windows 10, as it does seem to handle memory and things a little bit better in the background. So I'd never install Windows 10 as it is with its tile format. But there are still problems. And the other problem, of course, is trying to stay with software, because Microsoft has this wonderful way of making it end of life, and they just turn it off. So even though you might like running Windows XP, you don't get that opportunity. I do have a machine in the back of my office, and that's why I still talk about 3.5-inch floppy disks, which only runs on 3.5-inch floppy disks and uses Windows 3.1. I don't know if any of your listeners remember Windows 3.1, but the program that I have on it is piracy protected, so I can't change it onto another PC, and so it's actually stuck on this hard disk, on this floppy disk, and can't be copied off. If I try to copy it, it will delete it. So I run one PC with 3.1, and it must be 15 years old, and a floppy disk.
Yeah, Windows 3.1, I do remember. Of course, it was essentially superseded by Windows 95 in 95, which was 21 years ago. Why does time fly? My friend and listener, video watcher, Matthew, in North Columbus, mentioned that he has a Samsung S7 Edge. Any thoughts on that particular phone, Nick? Do you think that Samsung pretty much should rethink their entire line, or are there some Samsung phones and other Samsung products that are worth using, as long as you follow safety precautions?
I'm still on a Samsung G4 for my Android phone. But I must confess that I have gone over to iPhone myself. I swore that I would never buy an Apple product, and now I have two Apple laptops and an Apple Apple Mac sort of desktop, as well as my PCs, purely because I had to get into them to learn how to repair them. And I was repairing so many iPhone screens that it just seemed that I need to learn how each one behaved. The Samsung products always seem a little bit odd to me, that they seem to have these wonderful innovations like curved edge, the curves and things, and then suddenly it disappears and it becomes very like an iPhone again. So very peculiar the way they seem to make trends and then kill that trend.
On a more interesting type of story, Nick, a bit on the lighter side. As I recall, like myself, you enjoy a beer every now and then, if I'm not mistaken. About 50 minutes south of our studio in far north Columbus is a brewery where they make Anheuser-Busch beer, Bud and Bud Light. You can see it driving down 71 south on the way to Columbus or Cincinnati. Nick, as we were discussing prior to my going on the air, 45,000 cans of Budweiser beer arrived last week in a warehouse, which isn't that unusual, but that was after traveling 200 kilometers, or 120 miles, in an autonomous truck, a self-driving truck, with no driver at the wheel. Otto is the self-driving truck subsidiary of Uber. It shipped a truckload of Budweiser from Fort Collins, Colorado, to Colorado Springs, and that was last Thursday. There was a professional truck driver monitoring from the truck's sleeper cabin for the entire two-hour journey. The early morning drive had an average speed of 90 kilometers per hour, or 55 miles per hour. Nick, what are your thoughts on that? We haven't talked much about autonomous vehicles, although I bring it up pretty much every show. Would you be comfortable sharing the roads with a truck with no truck driver behind the wheel? What do you think about this autonomous delivery of beer? Any thoughts on that?
To be honest, being slightly older than you and not quite as old as Ben walking in front of the trucks and vehicles with a red flag as they came along at 3 miles an hour, but the thought of something autonomous does scare me witless, I think is the correct phrase. The thought that, you know, something can go wrong. And I mean, we work in the computer industry. What happens when somebody hacks a lorry? When somebody hacks the Budweiser lorry's delivery software in order to deliver a nice truckload of Budweiser to their student party or something like that. That sort of thing is quite frightening. But on the pedestrian side, just the thought that vehicles will be running purely on, in quotation marks, computers, and my life is at the behest of a computer programmer who's never seen me, never met me, but is in essence driving a loaded gun around the roads, scares the life out of me.
So like myself, you're intrigued by this idea, but I'm not quite ready to share the highways with a robot or non-Homo sapiens driver behind the wheel. What do you think about the job that the professional trucker has, kind of sitting in the cab? Do you think he's kind of scared for his life, or does he have enough confidence that he's just kind of enjoying the ride and enjoying his paycheck and not really worried about the safety of this autonomous delivery truck?
I think when they say that he was in the sleeper cab, I think he was probably actually sitting with his hands about half an inch away from the steering wheel and his feet hovering over the pedals for that 2 hours, ready to slam the brakes on or steer out of a problem. I don't think that he was literally sitting in a sleeper cab. And if he was, he's a braver man than me.
So we would be of the opinion that he might claim to be sitting there at ease and drinking his coffee, or actually he was, out of lack of a better term, scared to death, realizing that he earned every penny of his paycheck.
Petrified.
I would probably be also. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to share the road with an autonomous vehicle. I certainly admire the very smart people that were able to program what is needed to get these vehicles on the road, and of course paying attention to all of the safety considerations. But I think we might be jumping the gun just a little bit. But again, as someone who does enjoy a beer every now and then, and knowing the importance that Budweiser plays in the central and mid-Ohio economy with the big plant in North Columbus, this story certainly, out of lack of a better term, tickled my fancy. Out of the Computer Guy Show, here with me, Adam Lepp, your local, friendly neighborhood information technologist, broadcasting on the internet and over the airwaves at 107.1 FM. That stands for Frequency Modulation, also stands for Frequently Marvelous Radio. I guess I can save myself there because it also stands for that. On the phone with me is my frequent over-the-phone guest, Mr. Nick C.J. from Brecon in eastern Wales, almost across the border to England in the United Kingdom, a longtime business associate of mine. Nick, we have about 6 minutes left of the show. Anything else you wanted to share with our listeners before we bid a fair adieu?
I think one of the things is that the listeners are missing the great view that we get on Facebook, because we get to see the photograph of your twin that's sitting over your left-hand shoulder, which is very entertaining for us, and they won't know at all what I'm talking about.
Yes, it's Dr. Frankenstein or some other Halloween creature just over my right shoulder. Nick, it seems like in my lifetime, that's a good point, Halloween has morphed from a holiday that is for the kids for dressing up and getting candy and going to the dentist after you eat too much candy. It seems like it's more of an adult holiday, and it seems like it starts in August, just after the kids go back to school. Is that the case also in England, Nick, where Halloween really has transitioned into this adult holiday where people have to, even if they're 70, 80 years old, feel like they have to go and dress in a costume and celebrate? Or am I maybe over-dramatizing that? Or has it always been really big in your neck of the woods?
It used to be very, very, very small here. Guy Fawkes Day was our big one, Bonfire Night, to celebrate Guido Fawkes' attempt to blow up Parliament on November the 5th. Halloween was a little bit quieter, but we've taken on that American idea, and a lot of it's around candy and all of that type of thing, and a lot of stuff being sold in the shops now, 100 times more than 10 years ago. The best trick-or-treat thing that I saw the other day was one grumpy guy who was dipping Brussels sprouts into chocolate so that he could give his trick-or-treaters a nice chocolatey treat, and of course they'd get their greens as well as a little shock when they bit into it.
So I wouldn't be exaggerating when saying that Halloween has become bigger in the last 10-15 years, and if anything, almost more like an adult holiday. Maybe adults have more money and more easy to advertise to adults. It certainly has
100%, yeah, it's definitely, it's grown exponentially here, but all through consumerism. It's all about little plastic things and big plastic things and fake skeletons that we didn't used to have. And of course, there used to be a lot more craft in the old days where people would make their skeletons from cardboard and things, but now everything is bought at the pound stroke dime store or the cheap outlet or the Walmart. Yes, it's a bit sad, I think, that it's gone so commercial.
So you call the five and dime store there the pound and dime store? That's interesting. And you do have Walmart there in the UK, Nick? I guess I never really asked you. I assume Walmart is international, but honestly didn't know if people there
have
Walmart
Asda,
as much as we do.
Which is Walmart, but by another name.
What's it called again? I'm sorry. What's your Walmart there called in the UK?
Asda.
Asda.
A-Z-D-A.
Oh, that's something else I didn't know until we talked today. So I found out about that and found out that floppy disks, be they 3.5 or 5.25 inch, are not... the measurements are not changed into millimeters or centimeters. You use the same inches that we use here, kind of like cigarettes or 90 millimeters or 100 millimeters. Soda comes in 2 liters. And sometimes you don't realize that we use a lot of metric system measurements and containers in the United States and even in the UK, which is pretty much all metric. You still use inches for some things. Well, I want to thank you again, Nick, for being on the show. I'm sure we'll talk again soon. We'll talk online. Of course, I'm broadcasting a live video that's available on my Facebook. Just look up Adam Lepp in Ohio, and you can watch for the next minute and 45 seconds while I'm still on the air, or, of course, watch or download the video on demand. It'll be posted to my Facebook in a few minutes. Nick, thanks again for being on the show today. Be well. Good luck in your operation. And
thank you, Adam.
And we'll talk again soon.
That was my longtime business associate, Mr. Nick C.J. from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, about ready to wind down for another adventure into the world of technology here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and, of course, broadcasting online by the power and magic of the Internet at WWGH1071.com. I do want to let you know that coming up later today, we have a lot of great shows. Of course, our local broadcasting legend, Mr. Charlie Evers. He's coming up in about 15 minutes after the 10 a.m. features. And then we have Now with Scott Spears. Of course, it's not on Now. It's on just after the noon features. He will have some guests who are associated with a championship wrestling event that'll be occurring in Marion this Saturday evening. And of course, he always has a celebrity or two on the phone or sometimes in the studio. So be sure to listen. We are your locally owned and operated radio station here in Marion, WWGH 107.1 FM. Adam Lepp here. Thank you again for listening. I'll talk to you again November 1st, Tuesday, shortly after the 10 a.m. features. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
You're listening to